is from the last book, the last chapter of the book of Acts, where we read this: "Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." There's a promise to us that God's grace has been sent, it has been given, and they will listen. And this whole thing about the study on big church is they will listen. His grace has come, but how will they hear unless they are told? The promise, they will listen, but they need to be told. "Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." Back to Rome for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. It was his own rented house, but as we'll see just now, he was actually under house arrest in his own rented house. It's a bit of a thing, eh? He's in jail effectively, but he's got to pay for his own jail. He's got to pay for it. So he's in his own rented house, he's under house arrest, and he welcomed all who came to see him. But while he was there, he proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ, all with boldness and without hindrance. Okay, we've been doing this study on big church, and we come to the end of it, and tonight we're going to have a look at the subject of big church, what next? Now, there are 3 books in the Bible that have an unusual ending, and we're going to start by looking at the first one that has an unusual ending, and that's the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, we all know the story about Jonah and the whale. It actually wasn't a whale, it was a big fish. Doesn't matter. The book opens with God telling Jonah to go and to preach the gospel to a foreign nation. The trouble is that Jonah doesn't really like this nation. And so Jonah tries to run away from God. I mean, really, how does anybody think they can run away from God? How many of you tonight think you can run away from God? I mean, you know he's got his hand on you. You know that he wants to bring you into his kingdom or to forgive you and to love you, and you're trying to run away from him. Maybe he's spoken to you about doing something special and you're trying to run away. Well, you go and read the book of Jonah and see what happens when people try and run away from God. God ultimately gets his way. How can anybody run away from God? Jonah tries. And so he gets onto a ship that's heading in the opposite direction from where God wanted him to go, but God is God, and God sends this huge storm. And the only way to stop the storm, Jonah realizes, is for the sailors to throw him overboard, because he's the one who's causing the storm. And so they do that. They throw him overboard, and the storm does stop. And Jonah is miraculously saved by a big fish. And as he comes onto the beach again, God speaks to Jonah again and says, "Jonah, remember that foreign nation asked you to go and preach to? Well, I want you to still go to them. Here's your second chance. Go to that nation." And this time, Jonah has got the message. He goes, he preaches repentance, and miracle upon miracle, the nation repents. Well, if he were a preacher, you would think he would be ecstatic that people actually listened to what he's preaching and responded. You'd think he would be beside himself, right? Not at all. Jonah complained to the Lord, "Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this? This is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew you would cancel your plans for destroying those people. Just kill me now. Lord, I'd rather be dead than alive, because what I predicted isn't going to happen." And so there's miserable. He just wants to die because what he said actually happened. But God speaks to Jonah and says to him, "Is it right for you to be angry about this? Is it right for Jonah to be angry when God has been so gracious?" And the book closes just like that. Suddenly the book closes. There's no resolution to it. There's no answer from Jonah to this question that God has posed. There's no next step from God as to what is going to happen now. But there's a reason why the book remains unfinished. There's a reason why that question is left hanging in the air. You see, it is left to you and to me to answer that question. It is left to you and me to finish the book of Jonah, because God is also asking us the question, is it right for you who have experienced God's grace and forgiveness? Is it right for you who've experienced the love of God not to show forgiveness to other people? Is it right for you who enjoy this relationship with God not to go and preach forgiveness to others and let them know that they too can come to know Jesus? Why is the book not finished? Why is it left hanging? The book is left unfinished because it's for us to go out and finish the book each day by the way we live our lives. The pen has been handed to us. You go and finish the book. What are you going to do with this grace? Second book, which has an unusual ending, is Mark's Gospel. If you open your Bible and it's there in your Bible app as well, in the NIV, if you go to Mark chapter 16, you will see that Mark chapter 16 originally finished at verse 8. And that you'll see there, that's written in your Bible, and it's there in your Bible app as well, that at the end of verse 8, you find these words. It says, the earliest manuscripts and some ancient witnesses did not have verse 9 to 20. In other words, in the original Mark's Gospel that Mark wrote in Greek, because that was the language he wrote in, that's where Mark's Gospel finished. And the last word in verse 8 was the word because. Now, what part of speech is because? Come on, you teachers. It's a joining word, right? It's a conjunction. The word because joins two ideas. Literally, it finishes like this. Trembling and bewildered, the woman went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone. They were afraid because. Bit of an unsatisfactory ending, wouldn't you say? That's how the book of Mark finished. Because why? Because what? What comes next? Well, it wasn't long before the translators got hold of Mark's Gospel, and they didn't like that unresolvedness about Mark's Gospel, and so they thought they would fill that empty space. And so they put in verses 9 to 20. Now, what is written in verse 9 to 20 is biblical. They're events from the life of Jesus. They finish off Mark's Gospel. So you can read it with confidence. But in doing so, they spoiled Mark's intentions. You see, Jesus had just been crucified. Jesus' resurrection has just been discovered. And not surprisingly, the people were alarmed. I mean, a dead person coming to life, of course they were alarmed. Not surprisingly, trembling and bewildered, the woman fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone. They were afraid because. Of course they were afraid. They didn't expect a dead person to rise again. Jesus understood that they were feeling afraid, and so he reassured them. He said to them, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell. He reassures them and he gives them a command. But the reassurance from Jesus, notwithstanding, they were afraid because. And the book finishes. Once again, it has been left to us to finish the book. What will we do with Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection? Will we be encouraged by that glorious truth? Will we take the message that Jesus is risen from the dead out to those who don't know it? Will we take the message that there can be relationship with God because of Jesus' death and resurrection? Will we be obedient to the command, go tell? Or will we be afraid? And like those first witnesses, flee from our responsibility. What's next? We want to know. Well, what's next is in our hands. And so the book finishes abruptly. And we have to determine what's next by what we do with the message of the gospel. And then we come to the book of Acts. And the book of Acts open when Jesus has risen from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples. And as we read that, we see that he's still teaching about the kingdom of God. And then he gives them a promise. He says to them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, the message of salvation has got to get out into the world. Because you see, Jesus made a promise elsewhere, which we looked at in our first of the series. He said, I will build my ecclesia, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. The gates of death will not overcome it. Remember, we spent some time looking at that word ecclesia, the word that mainly is translated church in our Bibles. And in that first study, we saw that ecclesia referred not to a building with walls, but it referred to a dynamic, vibrant, forceful, energetic group of people. Jesus promised to build a dynamic, vibrant, forceful, energetic group of people, a group of people who would move into the world, taking the message of salvation. And the book of Acts is the first chapter in the story of that dynamic, vibrant, forceful, energetic group of people. It's the chapter one of how they actually went out and took the message of salvation into the world. The first chapter of how Jesus fulfilled his promise to build his church. And as you read the book, you see it starts mainly talking about how Peter and the Jerusalem church, the part they played in taking the message into the world. In chapter 8 of the book of Acts, we are introduced to Saul, a Pharisee who was responsible for persecuting the church. In chapter 9, we have recorded the miracle of Saul's conversion, how Saul, the church persecuting Pharisee, became Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. In chapter 13, we have the record of Paul and Barnabas being sent out on the missionary journeys. All the while, we see the church, the ecclesia, it's actually growing because they are being faithful to the commission. But also we see growing opposition to the church. And in the end, Paul is arrested. Now, as an aside, Paul often said he wanted to preach the gospel in Rome, the center of the known world. And God had promised Paul, you will preach the gospel in Rome. And so when we get to the final chapter of the book of Acts, where do we find Paul? In Rome, preaching the gospel, but not in a way, or probably Paul thought he would end up preaching the gospel. Paul is under house arrest. We read that Paul was allowed to live by himself with a soldier to guard him. But nevertheless, under house arrest or not, Paul is preaching their gospel. They agreed on a time. When the day arrived, they came back to his home with a number of their friends. Paul talked to them all day from morning to evening, explaining everything involved in the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them all about Jesus by pointing out what Moses and the prophets had written about him. There he is, under house arrest, preaching the gospel, fulfilling Christ's commission to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that he commanded with the promise, surely I'm with you to the end of the age. Jesus commissioned them. Paul went out and he did it. And we, this dynamic, vibrant, forceful, energetic group of people called the church, we also are commissioned to take the good news into the world. For 2 years, Paul stayed under house arrest. We read that for 2 whole years, Paul proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And suddenly, the book ends. The book ends, just as it did with Jonah, just as it did with Mark's gospel. The book ends. But we know that the story does not end. But once again, as with Jonah and with Mark, once again, the future of the church is in our hands. It is left up to us to finish the story. And as we look at church history from then until now, we see that we are still writing that story. We look back over church history and see that in the name of Jesus, hospitals and schools have been built. Millions of people have been fed and clothed and housed. Slavery was abolished in England in Jesus' name. Missionaries have traveled and risked their lives to take this message into the world. What part are we as a church, as individuals, going to play in writing the story of the church? When Jesus ascended back to the Father, it was left to a group of 12 disciples to take the gospel into the world. That was all. If they failed, Christ's mission would have failed. Jesus had no backup plan. Jesus had no plan B. It was those 12 disciples being obedient or nothing. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out boldly in Jesus' name. Paul was executed. And the future of the church was in the hands of that generation living around Paul's time. If that generation had not continued Paul's work, that dynamic, vibrant, forceful, energetic group of people, the church would have shriveled right then and there and died. But they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out boldly in Jesus' name. And the story of the church continued to be written. Today, if our generation does not continue that work, that dynamic, vibrant, forceful, energetic group of people, the church will shrivel and die. You see, the church is always one generation from extinction. The church is always one generation from extinction. But we, you and me, we are still powered by the same Holy Spirit. The question is, what will we do? What will we do? What's next? In our discussion time, we must talk about what we must do to carry on writing the story of the book of Acts as the church grows. But let me suggest something that we ought to be doing. We ought to be bold in our invitations as we invite people to church, to youth, to Bible study, as we present them with the gospel and invite them to accept Jesus. We need to be bold in our volunteering. The church cannot operate unless people like you offer to serve. Be bold. Offer to do something you find uncomfortable. Make a weekly commitment to serve. Be bold in your volunteering. Be bold in your giving. It's a way, giving, that all of us can be part of what God is doing. Maybe there's not too much else that we can do, but we can give. And giving is a way like no other way of experiencing God's provision for you. Because when you give, you make yourself vulnerable to need. And when we are vulnerable to need, God is able to meet our needs. Be bold in your giving. And yes, one more, be bold in your prayers. Be bold in your prayers. Ask God to do things that only He can do. Ask God to make you bold for Him. Pray. And pray boldly. You see, what next? It's in our hands. We've been given the pen and said, now you carry on writing the story. Write it in your life. Write it in what you're doing. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I just wonder how the church would fare if everybody was as committed as we are tonight, if everybody was as committed as we are, how would the church develop? What would the story of the church be? And Lord, if we're not happy with how it might end up, then Lord, challenge us to be part of this vibrant, dynamic, energetic group of people who are busy taking the gospel into our neighborhood and into the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.